As you can see from your message guide, we're going to get back into our series on Oh, How Love I Thy Law, our series, our year-long series through the Ten Commandments. And as we return in our Bibles to Exodus 20, we find once again in verse 12, the fifth commandment of God's moral law. And we're going to begin here. Hopefully you already have this verse memorized. And then we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to spend a lot of time there. And there's going to be a lot of passages that we read, and so I'd encourage you to turn with us to those passages. Some of them are lengthier passages, so you'll want to follow along. But beginning there in Exodus 20, verse 12, we're reminded of this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We know that this commandment is an important commandment because it remains even today the very foundation for a healthy family, obviously, a healthy society, and even a healthy church. However, from our own experience, and we touched on this a little bit last Sunday, we know just how hard it is to keep this commandment by our own experience, because either as we were growing up or even as we were getting older, there were some hard times for us to honor and obey our parents. In fact, when we hold up the mirror of God's law and we see ourselves the way God sees us, we realize just how sinful we are and how many ways and in how many times we have not honored our fathers, we've not honored our mothers, we haven't even honored the other authorities that God has placed in our life. And really, as we saw last Sunday, this command actually gives us that command. It extends it to other authorities, other father figures that we have, whether they're political, religious, or otherwise. We've failed many ways and many times. Well, tonight, though, we can rejoice that there is one who came to fulfill this commandment completely. And he did so not for his own sake, but for ours. And of course, that one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he the example for us by keeping this commandment and all of the other commandments, he is also the enabler. He's the one that will enable us to obey and comply with all of God's law and all of God's word from a heart of love. Not because it is something external to us, but it becomes something internal to us as believers. So just as we learned last Sunday about the extent, the great extent of the fifth commandment, tonight we're going to look at the great example of the fifth commandment in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see from the life of Christ is that the obedience of Christ to honor his father and honor his mother was a perfect obedience. Wouldn't it be great if you could obey perfectly the word and the will of God? I mean, how many problems would that solve in life, right? We know that the Bible just gives us a good way to live, even if you don't trust in Christ. Yet God's way is always the best way. And even unbelievers that follow some of the advice of Scripture, they actually lead pretty good lives. And this is one of those where if you honor and you listen and you obey your parents and you learn from them, there's a promise there. You will live long. You will have a generally good life. Why? Because you are learning, again, from the mistakes of others and not from your own mistakes. But the Lord Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness for us. And he did so in this way by a perfect obedience. Jesus honored all of the appropriate authorities in his life, whether he was a boy or even when he was a man in this world. Of course, first and foremost, Jesus honored his heavenly Father. And we know this from many passages in the Bible, but I'd like us to first focus when Jesus was a boy in this world, and go over with me to Luke chapter 2, where we're going to read a lengthy passage there, Luke chapter 2, because even from a young age, Jesus knew that there existed a special and a unique relationship between God the Father and himself. So there in Luke chapter 2, we are given this brief look into the childhood years of Jesus when he was just 12 years old. Remember when you were 12? How did you respond to your authorities in life when you were at age 12? How did you honor and obey your parents in the Lord? I know for me, I probably failed miserably in many ways. But listen to how Jesus responded to not just his earthly parents, but to his heavenly father in Luke 2:40, where after returning to Nazareth, we're told this, that Jesus, that child, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And we're going to stop there for now. But we see again that even at 12 years of age, Jesus understood that in a unique way, God the Father was his father. And even though we cannot fully understand the nature of that divine relationship, even Jesus, as God the Son, honored God the Father as his own heavenly Father in a perfect way. Again, he said, I am here about my Father's business. Now, we all know, we're going to see this later, that his father, earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. And he was not doing any carpentry work there in the temple. He was there asking questions and also sharing his own wisdom that he had as the Son of God. You don't need to turn there, but in John chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, we're told this about Jesus. Jesus said unto his disciples, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Again, speaking about his heavenly Father. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. You know, John 8:30 is a wonderful verse where Jesus again claims, I do always those things that please him, his heavenly Father. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful thing for us to be able to say growing up? I've always done everything to please my parents or to please God. And of course, we know that we can't say that because we've never done that. But Jesus, he could say that. But it is one thing to say this. It's entirely a different thing to live this out. Well, not only did Jesus say that he honored his heavenly Father, Jesus could show it as well. All throughout his life, Jesus followed after the will and the word of his heavenly Father. Remember in his prayer that he taught his disciples, and really the prayer that we've probably all learned by heart, Jesus taught us to pray these words in Matthew 6:10, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it and to apply it to your life. Well, Jesus, in his own prayer, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was in agony, pouring out his soul before his Father, he prayed these words, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. That is the right attitude to have as a child to the parents, and especially as a Christian to our Heavenly Father. And that's how Jesus lived his life. From his earliest recognition of that relationship between him and his Father, even to that very moment that he was in the garden, to the very moment that he died, he said to his Father, Thy will be done. He always did what pleased his Father. And you see, as Jesus honored his Father, when it came time for him to be arrested and led away as a lamb to the slaughter, he kept following that will perfectly. And we need to remember that Jesus did so to fulfill the very righteousness that we were unable to fulfill in our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. So however we fail, yet Christ fills it up with his perfect righteousness. But not only did Jesus honor his Heavenly Father, and Jesus also honored his earthly father and his earthly mother. His earthly parents were, of course, Joseph and Mary. We read a little bit about them already. But in Luke 2:41, where you are, they are even called his parents. They're even called his parents. However, though Mary was Jesus' mother through birth, Joseph was Jesus' father by adoption. He was his earthly father. And I believe Joseph would have taken care of Jesus as his own. He would have loved him and cared for him and nurtured him and taken care of the needs that he had. And then if you go down to Luke 2:48, the love and care for Jesus by his earthly parents, by Mary, by Joseph, is clear when Mary says to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." Now imagine if you were in the shoes of Joseph and Mary, and you look around after a day from leaving Jerusalem, and you're looking for your son, your 12-year-old son, and you don't know where he is. I felt a little of this a few years ago when I took my son and my daughter to a Mitt Romney rally. Remember those? That was when he was running for president, and there was one in Cincinnati or near Cincinnati. I thought it might be a good, I don't know, political science type of class or thing to do because we were homeschooling at the time, and so we went there. And, you know, you had to go through all these lines to get in there for security. And when we got there, it didn't seem like it was that crowded. And then I thought, uh-oh, this might not bode well for his election, really, which obviously didn't bode well for his election. But then I realized where we were standing was right in front of those large speakers by the stage. And I kind of figured out why nobody was standing there when they started blaring the music. It was really loud. But we stayed put. Well, my adventurous son wanted to go and see how close he could get to the stage to see if he could see Mitt Romney. And I said, okay, because it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of people. And so he gets up there, and he was 12 years of age. And I remember that because as soon as some of the senators came out, some of the governors, some of the VIPs, and eventually Mitt Romney, all the crowd went right toward the stage. And I was thinking, where's my son in all of this? Is he right there in the middle of it? Is he going to be able to find us? And I was sorrowing, maybe even fretting a little bit. And finally he was able to come back and we were okay. But that's the way Joseph and Mary were. And then when they go back to Jerusalem, it only took me a few minutes for me to be reunited with my son. It took them 3 days to be reunited with Jesus. Imagine how worried and sorrowful they must have felt. And yet, Jesus still honored them. How does he respond? Well, in verse 50 through 52, even though Jesus knew that there was a relationship that he had with both fathers, verse 50, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them from Jerusalem back to Nazareth. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Yes, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, Jesus was subject to Joseph and Mary, to human beings, to human authorities. And then, of course, Luke adds, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So there in verse 51 of Luke 2, we see that Jesus honored his earthly parents by being subject unto them. And even though we have just this single episode in the childhood of Jesus, I think it's likely given to show us that really his whole childhood was probably like this. He was subject to the Lord. He complied with their wishes. He obeyed them in the Lord, for that was right. He kept the fifth commandment. But I think there are other hints and examples of Jesus' honoring his earthly parents as well. He honored his earthly father, Joseph, in one way by following in his footsteps as a carpenter. In Matthew chapter 13, if you go there just a few pages from where we are, Matthew 13, beginning in verse 54, when Jesus was come into his own country, of course, Nazareth, the region about Nazareth, it says that he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" So there he is in Nazareth after his ministry has started, and he is preaching the gospel. And all of these people thought, hey, wait a second, isn't this that little Jesus? You know, he grew up with our kids. And how is he teaching and preaching all these? He didn't go to those schools to become a rabbi. In fact, they would ask this question, verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Aren't they all here? So the people of Nazareth knew who Jesus' earthly father was and what he did for a living. Joseph was a carpenter. But then there's a parallel passage to this in the Gospel of Mark. Of course, we know that the synoptic Gospels, the Gospels that have a lot of parallels to them, are Matthew and Mark and Luke. John is kind of off on its own. But here in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, the question is asked a little differently. The question was this, is not this, and it's the same setting, the same scene, is not this, they ask, what? The carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, some will look at these two disparate accounts, or at least these two different sayings, and see it as a contradiction. But I think when we look at it, we ought to see it as more of a compliment of what was actually being said. More than likely, there were some who asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? And then there would have been others that asked, is not this the carpenter? Which indicates to us that Jesus worked as a carpenter as he was growing up until he reached the age of 30 when he began his ministry. It shows us that Jesus followed in the footsteps of Joseph as a carpenter himself. He would have learned from Joseph and worked with Joseph. And I want you to imagine with me what that bond must have been like as they crafted things together out of wood. A father and a son, Joseph and Jesus. And even though it was a humble occupation, yet Jesus was not ashamed of it, nor was Jesus ashamed of him. He was not ashamed to be known as the carpenter's son or even a carpenter himself. And in doing so, I think he honored his earthly father in that way. Now, we're not really sure when Joseph leaves the scene. He might have been quite a bit older than Mary. He might have died many years before Jesus started his ministry. But the times that they had together were probably treasured by both. Jesus honored his earthly father. But Jesus also honored his earthly mother, Mary, perfectly. Especially when he was hanging on the cross in John chapter 19. And he honored his mother by making sure that her needs would be taken care of when he died. In fact, in John 19 verses 25 through 30, again a lengthier passage, you can turn there with me. John 19, 25, we read these words. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, many believe that to be John, likely so, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. And then, after this it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, so he waited until that moment that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus, therefore, this time had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Isn't it so touching that one of the very last things that Jesus said and Jesus did concerned his own earthly mother, Mary. Oh, how he loved her. Oh, how he cherished her. Oh, how he wanted to provide for her. Oh, how he honored her. And at that moment, Mary was experiencing what old Simeon had prophesied at Jesus' own birth. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. And so what did Jesus do? Hanging on the cross, after all that he went through, he did not neglect his responsibility to honor and to care for the needs of his own mother. Even in the most heartbreaking and soul-breaking moments of both their lives, he says, Mary, mother, woman, John's going to take care of you now. And John, you're going to take care of my mom. And I'll be watching, by the way. Because we know that he loved his parents. He honored them perfectly. In all of these ways, he honored his father, his mother, to fulfill the righteousness that we have been unable to fulfill in our own relationship with our own parents. Again, think back to your own relationship with them. And sometimes we think back with sorrow, don't we? I can remember certain times when I did not honor my parents. And they stick with me even to this day. And yet I can be so thankful that Jesus did fulfill this commandment for me. And so when I am haunted by those thoughts, and I'm haunted by my own guilt in dishonoring my parents, I run back to Christ because he is the one who did that. He fulfilled that righteousness for me. So I can go and sin no more, and I can go and honor my parents and even the memory of my parents in the right and proper way. So yes, Jesus fulfilled this and honored his earthly parents. But then even further, remember, this commandment is an extensive commandment. It extends even further just to the fathers that we know in our families, but even to other fathers. Jesus honored other fathers like his political fathers. So even though Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he still recognized the powers that be that were ordained of God, as it says in Romans 13:1, and he honored them appropriately. In fact, go with me to Mark chapter 12, where in verses 13 through 17, really all of Mark 12, Jesus is being questioned, and they're trying to trick him. They're trying to trap him with his words. And one of those had to do with his relationship with the authorities, and especially the Roman authorities, because if he disobeyed them, he could be attacked for treason to the authority. And in Mark 12:13, we read, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians." So a religious sect and then more of a political sect, the Herodians, political party, to catch him in his words, it says. "And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth." And of course, they're speaking with tongue in cheek. They don't believe this. So they ask the question, "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny." That would have been one of those Roman denarius. "Bring me that penny, that I may see it." So they brought it. And he saith unto them, "Whose is the image and superscription?" And they said unto him, "Caesar's." And they fell into his trap. Because Jesus answering said unto them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. So here we have Jesus encouraging his own people, the Jews, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's, to honor their political authorities. But again, it's one thing to say this, it's another thing to do it, right? It's another thing to say to people, "Oh, you got to pay your taxes." It's another thing to do that, to pay all your taxes. Well, that's what Jesus did in Matthew 17, another passage. If you go to Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27, a familiar passage that you perhaps might remember, Matthew 17, 24, that when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, those taxes, came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And he saith, "Yes." Probably didn't know. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children, of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh out. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee. So yes, Jesus, by means of Peter, paid his taxes, paid his tribute. And in all of these ways, Jesus honored the human authorities in his life with perfect obedience. Not just in his actions, but get this, even in his attitudes. When was the last time you paid your taxes with the same kind of attitude? I know it's been a long time for me. Probably never has been. But Jesus did so. He did so perfectly. But not only was his obedience to the fifth commandment a perfect obedience, fulfilled for us as well as for himself, it was also, number two, a proven obedience. A proven obedience. Mark Jones once wrote this: Adam broke the Ten Commandments in the garden, but Christ kept the Ten Commandments in the wilderness. Ponder that for a minute. Think about that. The Garden of Eden was a perfect paradise for Adam and Eve. And yet, they disobeyed God even in the best possible circumstances. And you know what? That happens to us all the time. Things might be going so well for us. We are blessed. We have everything that we need. And yet, we still rebel, don't we? We still sin. We still disobey. Adam broke the Ten Commandments in the garden. Now, of course, at the time, the Ten Commandments weren't codified, but God's law and God's will was still present. And he disobeyed God. But when Jesus came from the paradise of heaven, the world was a wilderness, wasn't it? For his pure and holy soul. It says in Isaiah that he was a man of sorrows. What did he sorrow about? Probably the sin and the curse that was he experienced daily in this world. How must his heart have grieved over the utter brokenness of his own creation and even the broken souls of men that he created. And yet, under the worst possible circumstances for that holy soul, Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father. Again, Christ kept the Ten Commandments even in the wilderness. Even when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, the worst possible place. But lest we think that he was not tested in his obedience and in honoring his Father, remember what we're told in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Was Jesus tempted to dishonor his parents? Yes. Was Jesus tempted to dishonor his heavenly Father? Yes. Was Jesus tempted to disobey the political authorities? Yes. But did Jesus yield to that temptation? No. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted, he was tried, yet Jesus was able to triumph and honor his Father in heaven. Jesus' obedience was a proven obedience. The devil didn't take it easy on him, but he did so to fulfill our righteousness. But then number three, it was also a prioritized obedience. I think we see this also in the life of Christ, a prioritized obedience. Because throughout his life and ministry, Jesus even shows us what it means and what it's like to honor our fathers and our mothers in a fallen world. I mean, we think if we were in a perfect world, how much easier it would be to honor our parents and obey them. Because everything they would want us to do is right, right? If there were authorities who were doing things or commanding things contrary to the will of God the Father, Jesus knew what he had to do. Even if that authority was his own mother, the priority of Jesus was always the words of his heavenly Father. So in a fallen world, there is a priority to honor and obedience. The priority for Jesus was always the words of his heavenly Father. Look at John 12:49. Where Jesus says, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus knew what he had to say. No one was going to silence him. not even other authorities. So when other authorities sought to control or curtail the words and the teachings of Jesus, what did Jesus have to do? He kept on speaking and sharing the word of his Father. Another passage in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 3, there was a time in the earliest part of Jesus' ministry when his mother and his brothers came to him. Remember that? In Mark 3:31, it says, "There came out his brethren and his mother, who he honored, who he loved, he obeyed. And standing without, they sent unto him, who was in a house, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And how did Jesus respond? It says, "He answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren?" Now, at this stage, most commentators believe that when Jesus' family came to him, including his mother, it was for one reason or another to actually get Jesus to stop speaking, to stop saying these words that were really, they thought, were offending those powerful religious leaders. And so whether it was for the because they really cared for him or they just were kind of ashamed of him, we're not exactly sure, they wanted him to keep silent. But for Jesus, the priority of his obedience belonged to his heavenly Father over any human authority, even his mom's, even his mother's. He had to obey God rather than men. His priority was also the works of his heavenly Father, the works of his heavenly Father. If you go to John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says that when the Jews persecuted Jesus, they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And what was he doing? He was healing people. He was teaching people. He was helping people. What a terrible thing to do on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them and said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore they sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You see, since Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath day, he was able to do the work of his Father on the Sabbath day. He could do whatever he wanted. He's the Lord of the Sabbath day. But though the religious leaders condemned Jesus for his work on that day and on every day, the priority of Jesus' obedience still belonged to his heavenly Father over any human authority, including those political leaders. Of course, many of their rules were based on tradition and not God's word. They were wrong. But this priority does carry over us to Christians. And I think this is important for us to remember more now than ever. Because when the authority of man is in conflict with the authority of God, the priority of our obedience belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? Remember what Peter and the other apostles said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so when there are laws that compel us to disobey God, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now we do so recognizing that there might be consequences to that, but there is still a priority to obedience in this fallen world. But through all of his life, Jesus is the one who came not only to keep the law that we could not keep, but he is now the one who can enable us to obey the will and the word of God from our hearts out of the principle of love. So when we struggle with honoring our parents, whether they're living or not living, or honor the authorities that God has placed in our life, the other fathers, who do we go to? We go to the Lord. Not only is he our example, but he is our enabler. He's the one that helps us. And truly, as Paul explains in Romans 13:10, it is love that is the fulfilling of the law. If we love our authorities the way we're supposed to, if we love our parents the way we're supposed to, we will honor them the way we are supposed to. So when you struggle to honor your father and your mother, as well as any other authority in your life, turn to the Lord Jesus, because he will help us and guide us as we seek to, as he did, always those things that please the Father. This really is and ought to be one of the desires and marks of a child of God, to always do those things that please him. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you again for this word about the Lord Jesus. What a tremendous, not just example is he to us, but really we recognize that he did that for us. He did that on our behalf. He did that because we could not do that. Because even though we, like Adam, would still disobey the Ten Commandments and this fifth commandment, even in the Garden of Eden, even the best possible circumstances, yet Jesus came into this wilderness and still complied, still obeyed, still honored you. And even though, Lord, we don't fully fathom, we never can, I think, understand fully the relationship that he had with you and has with you, even this very moment, yet, Lord, we see that his obedience to you was perfect. His obedience to you was proven. His obedience to you was the priority of his life. And so, Lord, I pray that that will be the case in our lives as well. That you will help us to follow after the example of Christ, looking to him as the author and finisher of our faith, as the one who will help us instill this commandment, not just as an external rule, but as an internal delight and desire. And so, Father, I ask that you'll help us to live out this commandment, that you'll help us to honor all of the fathers and all of the mothers, all of the authorities that you've placed in our lives, because with that, you are well pleased. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.